Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, April the 29th, it's time to go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
Joshua writes, Dear Issues Etc., over the last couple of years, I've encountered a number of Lutheran laypeople who have come to identify the Word of God as in the Scriptures with the Word as in the eternally begotten second person of the Trinity. Needless to say, I was surprised to hear Dr. John Bombaro seemingly make the same identification in his interview on Preaching as God's Testimony. In summarizing an article by Dr. David Scare, he says, yes, the law, like the gospel, are internal to God himself because the law and the gospel are of the Word, and the Word is God. By equating the eternal and by nature divine Word, which was made flesh, with the revealed Word of God in the Scriptures, Dr. Bombaro has said something which is outside of the bounds of Trinitarian orthodoxy. Since Dr. Bombaro is a regular guest, is it possible to have him clarify this statement? In Christ, concludes Joshua.
We actually contacted Dr. Bombaro, and he basically confirmed what I thought he had meant to say in that particular phrase there. And thank you for writing us. When you hear these kinds of things that raise questions, or if you say, that doesn't sound right, we do want to hear from you. That's why we have an email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And that's why we have the comment line, 618-223-8382. So thank you for catching that, and thank you for alerting us to it. But I think what was happening there is that Dr. Bombaro was engaging in wordplay. Now, no pun intended. There was a little wordplay going on there, kind of where he was talking about when he says the Word is God, he had subtly switched the Word he was talking about, the Word incarnate, or the Word, the eternal Word, the second person of the Trinity, is God. He did not intend to say, and he's confirmed with us, that he did not intend to say that somehow the scripture inscripturated Word is God, and God is the inscripturated Word. Now, why is it? Let's deal with a couple things. First of all, people who genuinely confuse the eternal Word, that second person of the Trinity, with the Word of God that is Scripture. People who intentionally confuse that do fall into several errors. You've pointed out one of them, that is confounding the Trinity. And the other one is a kind of doctrinal minimalism, where instead of Scripture being the authority, the standard for all teaching and practice, we confuse Word as in Scripture with Word as in second person of the Trinity, and Jesus is substituted for Scripture. So then it's a matter of, I'll just use the technical terms, it's a matter of the formal and material principles of Scripture. The formal principle of Scripture is Scripture itself. That's what informs us. The material principle of theology is the gospel. We never confuse these two. We always keep them together, but distinguished from one another. So if someone says, just to be clever, or perhaps a little wordplay, as in the case of Dr. Bombaro, saying that God is as his Word and Word is as God, when they say that, they're not intending to confuse the two, but you're right. There are those out there who either intentionally or unintentionally intend to or confuse those two things, the Word which became flesh and the Word which is Scripture, in order to engage in this kind of doctrinal minimalism. So it doesn't matter what the Bible says. I only care what Jesus says. It doesn't matter. My standard for theology isn't the Bible. My standard for theology is Jesus. And then you hear people say things like, well, Jesus never said anything about X, Y, or Z. Therefore, we can believe whatever we want to about X, Y, or Z. And they separate Christ from his word. So we've got a guest on this program, Pastor Will Wheaton. If you listen to him carefully, he always talks about Christ and his word, Christ and his word. Because if you have a Jesus that just floats around out there apart from scripture, you're not dealing with the real Jesus. That's a Jesus of your imagination. You can make that Jesus like a sock puppet say, then teach anything you want him to say and teach. And sadly, Lutherans sometimes fall into this error of separating Jesus from his word. And we shouldn't, because Jesus never separates himself from his word. Abide in me. What does that mean? My word abides in you. How often Jesus talks about my word. And when he's talking about my word, he's saying the things that I teach, my authority. And to have his word abide in you is to have him abide in you, Jesus says. So Jesus is never separated from his external word, but he is always distinguished from his word. He is the word of God, word of the Father. And where do we find him? In scripture. But that is not to say that scripture is the same thing as the incarnate Son of God. So thank you for pointing it out. And in Dr. Bombaro's defense, he was engaging in a little wordplay and did not intend to be taken literally the way that, if you write it out in a transcript, did not intend to be taken literally. And when we have him back on, I'm sure he'll want to clarify that point a little bit. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line on this Thursday afternoon. You can email us anytime, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can call the comment line. Say what you need to say, 618-223-8382.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you considered homeschooling your children, but wondered if you had the time or the expertise? If you live in the St. Louis Metro East, check out St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. We offer a classical Lutheran education for children pre-kindergarten through 8th grade. St. Paul Lutheran School is located just off of Interstate 55 in Hamel. Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois. school.stpaulhamel.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through listener email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line.
This email comes from Jason in Tucson, Arizona. Jason says, I will be registering mindless banter as a trademark, and you will have to pay me royalties each time the phrase is used. Thanks for listening in Tucson, Jason.
Can you trademark just a give it your best shot? Did Jason come up with mindless banter?
No, I think it was a listener.
Was it Michael
Robert?
Moore?
No, it was somebody called our comment line to complain about the mindless banter. And I think it was Robert in Vermont, if I recall. I don't know why it sticks in my
I think what brain. Jason is doing is subtly telling us that we talk too much about mindless banter. Ironically, is what we're doing right now.
You want some real mindless banter?
Sure.
Okay. So Elizabeth Marie Huffman and I will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary later this year. But not until recently, she informed me
that more than once daily, in the mornings, I will faintly say the phrases, who's on the show today? Who can we get on the show today? At night, I can be seen sitting, walking around, watching a TV, another TV show, saying, how was the show today? How was the show today?
Are you asking this yourself?
Yeah, I'm just talking to myself. Oh. And this has been going on, apparently, through our entire marriage, but she just informs me of this recently.
You didn't know you were doing this?
No, I knew. I said, who's on the show today? Because my kids early on would say, Jesus.
Yeah.
As I was doing that one. But I didn't realize that this was like more than once a day. You know, I thought it was like a shtick I just did with my kids. So who's on the show today, kids? But apparently, I'm just by myself or sometimes in a crowded room with my family in the morning saying, who's on the show today? Who can we get on the show today? And at night, how was the show today? So now, ever since she informed me, this is just a couple of days ago, I am haunted by this image. I'm in a wheelchair.
Yep.
I know. Lutheran nursing home.
Yep.
With a plaid robe. I can see, and I'm sitting there in this big hall. You know, it's not that it's got carpeting, and the carpeting's the exact same carpeting we have at our studio. There's a piano in the background. People are walking by me, and I'm literally shouting out, who's on the show today? Who can we get on the show today? How was the show today? Like Rain Man.
Yeah.
I'm literally haunted by this image. I see this so vividly in my mind.
And they're saying, you're saying, Wilkin, Wilkin. And the nurse is saying, Wilkin's been dead for 20 years.
Oh. I'd like to see you down the halls at a nursing home in your wheelchair, nursing home wheelchair races, Jeff. I know you're quite the competitor. That's got to be interesting wheelchair races with you in it.
I mean, I could have seen myself, you know, sitting around like, I used to produce issues, et cetera. I tell you, it was huge. But no, I'm like Rain Man in a plaid robe, in a wheelchair, in an open room with a piano in the background, with the same carpeting that we have in the studio, shouting like Rain Man, who's on the show today? Who can we get on the show today? And how was today's show? I can't get it out of my head.
Gosh. So you've been doing this show. You have been doing the show since before you and Beth got married. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So she's never known non-issues, et cetera, Jeff Schwarz.
No.
Your entire married life, she has lived with you, and I can tell you what my wife says to me, but I won't. Your entire married life, see, my wife can remember a time before issues, et cetera. She can remember 10 years or more, actually, 15 years of marriage before issues, et cetera. So she has that kind of perspective, but I feel sorry for her now. I feel sorry for your wife that she's always had to deal with this. And I'm the opposite. When I come home and my wife will very kindly say, how was work today? And I'll just say, it was fine. It was fine. I offer no, because I usually just do a memory wipe after on the way home and because I've got to go home and write questions for tomorrow's interviews. So I can't occupy myself with, you know, reflecting.
While watching the Cardinals baseball game.
Yeah. So.
But why wait 25 years to tell me this?
I don't know. Maybe she's.
I mean, and now I find myself doing, I never knew I did it. I'm just sitting at the stool, the kitchen counter. It's like, who's on the show today? Who can we get on the show today? And at night, you know, I might just be in bed and it just like, how's today's show? And I think about today's show and I literally rate.
Okay, so that's what you're doing.
Each and every episode in my head.
So you do?
Yes.
See, I could not tell you. I have to go back and look at the website to tell you who was. When I get home, if my wife said, who did you talk to today? I'd just be like, don't know.
I think I need some
don't remember.
Therapy with Dr. Beverly Yonke. That's what I think. All right, enough mindless banter. Joyce writes, hi, Todd and Jeff. Question, brief for Jeff's sake. Thank you, Joyce. What is the teaching about conscience and where is it found? Background, I heard lots of talk about conscience on Here I Stand Sunday and that we should not go against it. However, conscience seems to be like feelings which can't be trusted. I'm saved by grace even if I don't feel saved. Conscience is not in the index of the Small Catechism, nor in the Book of Concord.
Is it only in Luther's writings? I would like to read about it, as conscience seems like a subjective principle to me, writes Joyce in Missouri. And P.S., she says, thank you for your amazing programs and Bible teaching and current issues. However, I'm still waiting for a program explaining the doctrine of the divine call. Perhaps this is a good time since pastoral candidates are receiving their calls now. Thanks for listening in Missouri, Joyce.
Now, Scripture does talk about the conscience, and it talks about it in terms of God's law. In, I think, in the book of Romans, where it'll say it either excuses or accuses. That's the law written on the heart, which is not entirely synonymous with the conscience. It also speaks about baptism as not a washing of the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience, that is, a clear conscience. So the concept of the human conscience is found in Scripture. You're right. I don't believe that it is explicitly dealt with. But of course, it's implicitly dealt with all over the place in Scripture, because what is convicted when God's law shows us our sin? It is that standard that God has written into us, which is the conscience. The question is, and this is where Lutherans and Roman Catholics actually differ quite a bit, you can have a good conscience, which is both clear before God and also informed by God's word. You can also have a bad conscience, which can mean either a guilty conscience or a conscience that is not informed by God's word. So the unbeliever has a conscience. He does. Now, he might deny it, what the conscience tells him, and he might misinform his conscience. So if your conscience is informed by things other than God's word, you will not have a guilty conscience about things that you ought to have a guilty conscience about. The truth of the matter is there are people out there, let's just use abortion as an example. There are women out there who have so seared their consciences and misinformed their consciences that they can feel no guilt over their abortion. But that's not all women, even women who are not Christians, insofar as that conscience still in some way conforms to the law that God has written in the human heart, will feel tremendous guilt and remorse over their having had an abortion. You explain the difference between the two by saying one woman has seared her conscience, a biblical category, and has so misinformed her conscience that she no longer, that conscience no longer accuses her where it ought to. The Christian conscience is of an entirely, it's a redeemed conscience. It is one that is not infallible. It can still be misinformed, but it is one that is constantly being formed by God's word, or at least it should be. So that this is all to say that I think the idea of the conscience is found in Scripture, mostly implicitly, but often, but several places explicitly. And the reason you heard so much about it for Here I Stand Sunday was because Luther appeals to conscience when he refused to recant. He says it's not good to go against conscience. And what he means there is a conscience informed by the word of God. I would be wrong for me to violate my own conscience and recant something that I know to be true. This is an enormous issue nowadays, an enormous issue, because Christians are going to be asked to violate their consciences on a regular basis. They're going to be asked to go against conscience on a regular basis. There's an excellent book by Jay Budziszewski. Don't ask me to spell it. And he wrote this, what, 20 years ago? Revenge of Conscience. And he actually had a follow-up to it, I think about 10 years ago, if I recall. And both of these books are excellent in describing how the conscience functions in greater society, in larger society, how individuals, when they suppress the God-given conscience, that is the law of God written on our heart, it will assert itself elsewhere. So here's a great example. Someone, say, suppresses the conscience on a matter of sexuality. I'm going to have premarital sex. That conscience can be pushed down, but it cannot be entirely suppressed. And it will, as in Budziszewski's language, it will assert itself elsewhere, and often in a way that is not in accordance with God's word. So that person may say, premarital sex is fine, but having too big of a carbon footprint is a great sin. Well, Scripture never says that having too big of a carbon footprint is a great sin. It says we ought to be stewards of the of the world that God has put us in. But you see how the conscience suppressed in one area will assert itself often in a very exaggerated way elsewhere, which is why you find in liberal church bodies, they are absolutely puritanical and legalistic about some things and completely hedonistic about other things. They suppress the conscience where it ought to be listened to, and then it asserts itself elsewhere in sometimes rather ridiculous ways. Revenge of Conscience by Jay Bujaszewski.
Wasn't the bound conscience all the rage in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America when they were making their changes on sexuality?
That was the entire reason why the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, it was the basis upon which, the excuse upon which, the justification upon which they pursued their agenda of affirming all sorts of aberrant human sexualities. It's an idea dreamed up by one of their court theologians. They were looking for a Lutheran way of going against God's word. And this bright fellow, I think we've even interviewed him once or twice. Maybe we haven't. He came up with this idea of the bound conscience. Oh, you know what the bound conscience is? It isn't what it sounds like. It's the opposite of what it sounds like. The bound conscience is, well, you know, we know that God's word says this about homosexuality or about any of these other things, but we have a bound conscience, which really just amounts to, I'm claiming that the Holy Spirit is telling me different. God's word says one thing, but I'm claiming the Holy Spirit is telling me different, and I'm bound to what the Holy Spirit is allegedly telling me. And that was their entire reason for abandoning God's word. They knew they were abandoning God's word. They just needed an excuse to do it. And you can see in their church what's become of it.
And Joyce, your wish is my command?
Your wish is my command.
We will be discussing the call process with Dr. Brian Saunders, president of the Iowa East District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Wednesday on Issues Etc. And we hope to have posts up on Facebook and Twitter. Any of your questions or comments can be posted there about the call process, the calling of pastors, of course, and teachers. But you can also send those via email to talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. That's Pastor Brian Saunders, Wednesday on Issues Etc.
When we come back, a little more listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Doesn't take it well. Only wish my words could just convince myself that it just wasn't real. That's not the way it feels. Operator, what could you help me place this?
Jesus Christ is risen. Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacrament faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9:15 a.m. and the Divine Service at 8 and 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
I hold this letter here in my hand, a plea, a petition, a kind of prayer. I hope it does.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We leave those two channels open for our listeners because we know that most of our listeners are not listening in real time, and they want an opportunity to ask a question, make a comment, a criticism, a show suggestion, whatever you want. Talk back at issuesetc.org. And 618-223-8382.
And we are live. We should let people know if they want to call in, 877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Here's an email that just came in studio, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor Dan Vines in Washington State writes, T-shirt idea, who's on the show today?
That's hilarious.
Actually, that's a pretty good idea.
Who's on the show today?
We stole the I Have Issues idea from Karen Gabriel in Wyoming. Yep. Yes. Who was a very early listener. I think she said she would clean toilets while listening to Issues, et cetera. And she gave us the idea for the I Have Issues t-shirt. So what would it be? It would be, who's on the show today?
Who's on the show today?
who's going to be on the show? Who can I get on the show today?
Well, I hope we have those by the time I'm in my, at least I could wear that underneath my plaid robe.
Yeah.
Maybe the front could say, who's on the show today? The back could say, how was the show today?
That's right. That's right. There you go.
All right, Lynn. Lynn, order those right now. That dog will hunt. Here's some information from the Issues Etc. comment line for Terry Mattingly.
Hi, my name is Becky from St. Louis, Missouri. This is for Terry Mattingly. Thank you very much for all I've learned from you. I appreciate your being a guest on the program. I listened to a recent broadcast, and you said you weren't sure how to pronounce the Chinese surname NG. I lived in Hong Kong before, and the actual pronunciation without the tones is ng, as if you're saying the end of a word that's NG. But most people in the United States who have that surname, they just kind of add an I to it, so it ends up becoming ing. Just thought you might be interested to know that. Bye. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Well, and thank you, smartest listeners in radio, as we always say. You got to open your mic.
Well, I can't do that.
That's my fault. Okay. Sorry.
Remember, I'm still in the nameless studio, though we're still waiting for a $50,000 contribution to name in somebody's memory or honor.
If you want to picture what's going on here, it's a triangle. I'm in the main studio. Craig is in the control room. Jeff is next door to me through a window in the
nameless studio.
And he does not yet control his own mic. He has a board in front of him, but he does not yet control it. Although the mic is running through your... No, it isn't. Yes, it is. The mic is running through your board.
No, I unplugged it so we could go through a processor out here.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't sound like Craig.
Okay.
Because Craig's poor guy doesn't have a processor on his mic.
All right.
I want to thank that caller. Was it Linda? Was that her name from St. Louis?
Yeah, let's go with it.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thank you, St. Louis listener caller, because I frequently help one Joseph Jeffrey Schwartz with his homework on grammar. I'm the grammar guy, right? So he has these like 30 question grammar assignments. And there's always this Miss NG. Almost a couple times a week. I never knew how to pronounce it. Miss NG. I don't know why it's a popular thing, but now at least I know how to pronounce it. Miss NG.
So I understand that these younger boys of yours are surpassing their dad in their intellect already because of their classical Lutheran education.
Yes, they're much wiser than I was, certainly at that age. But I can't go on the record now and let them know they're smarter than me. I'll lose all control. Yeah, they'll be pulling things like bound conscience all over me, you know? They'll be playing the bound conscience card on me.
Dad, my conscience is bound.
All they know is Dad's talking to himself at the dinner table.
That's right. Crazy Dad. Doug, Illinois. Hello, just wanting to let you know that when Jeff says you can listen to Issues Etc. on TuneIn, Alexa, Google Home, and the Issues Etc. app, I can't help but notice that Apple HomePod is missing, as it uses the TuneIn service as well. I use it to stream both LPR talk and music stations. Not sure if this is helpful to anyone else, but it was a wonderful surprise to me. I enjoy the show and have been a longtime listener. Thank you for your worldwide outreach, and thanks for listening in Illinois, Doug.
Yeah, there is such a thing as an Apple HomePod, and it's really, really expensive, too, as is typical of everything that bears the Apple logo. We'll try and include that in future references to how you can listen to both Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
Hi, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate the balance you helped me achieve being a Lutheran and just the different programs. I love the three-year lectionary with Pastor Carl. I try not to miss that, but I just really appreciate the way you dive into cultural issues. So we have both of those things, good things on hymns and Pastor Wheaton, and yet you're not afraid. I just got done listening to the cultural Marxism from the pastor from Alexander, Minnesota, and boy, talk about spot on. And I just want to thank you for that. Keep up the good work. And both my wife and I just really appreciate the program. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And it sounds like a listener who gets the show, because the show is driven by Lutheran theology, but it doesn't deal only with Lutheran theology. We call it a theological talk show that deals with two aspects of our lives. One, scriptural theology, and the other one is responding to unbiblical worldviews that are out there in society. We do both, and we do both from the perspective of God's Word. So why would we want to talk about cultural Marxism? Not just because it presents political or social problems, but because it is an affront and a challenge to Christianity. And one of our guests, Pastor Hans Feeney, has for at least 3 years been telling us, although he hasn't used the term cultural Marxism in each and every case, he's been telling us that there is an alternate religion out there in American society, one that's very publicly displayed, where people are seeking a righteousness apart from Christ in their political views, in what they post on social media, in the causes that they take up. And he would include in that Black Lives Matter and all the other iterations of cultural Marxism. And it's quite simple. Seen this way, it is a religion, and it's an anti-Christian religion. You can't kind of mix and match your cultural Marxism with your Christianity, because the two do not mix. The two are diametrically opposed to one another. And the God of cultural Marxism, whatever form it takes, whether it's a self, whether it is one's spotless reputation in your cultural sphere or any of those kinds of things, whether it's achieved by virtue signaling, that God is not the God of Christianity. And that's part of the reason we've taken up, it's not just like following the fad of what people are writing and talking about, although people are writing and talking about it, it is recognizing the dangers of the prevailing ideology in the world around us. And we try to do it by bringing on the very best guests that we can.
And as Pastor Dare says, it has a false, unbiblical view of sin, right?
Man, salvation,
good works, salvation. Those are some pretty key doctrines.
And this is, I want to speak to the pastors, and I have before, but this is the prevailing religion your people are seeing in their everyday life. This is the religion that is trying to evangelize and catechize your people that come to church. It is, while you evangelize and catechize Sunday morning, this is the religion that is evangelizing and catechizing Monday through Saturday. And you must equip your people to recognize it and to have a response to it.
Fred writes, need the phone number for your supporter who rents the home on Table Rock Lake. Well, Fred, that number is 713-855-2681, 713-855-2681.
You giving someone's phone number out on the air?
Well, it's in the commercial.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in the commercial. I wouldn't have done it. And while we're at it, the other rental properties, I get these frequently. I guess it's time of year people are looking for vacation. The Siesta Key rental property. That's siestakeyrentalgenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
Have we ever met this Virginia?
Actually, I have met Virginia. I haven't met. The folks at the Table Rock Rake are members of Dr. Scott Murray's church at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas.
And I should just say Table Rock Lake is one of the most beautiful locations in the Midwest.
And I have actually met on more than one occasion Mark, the person who owns the Siesta Key rental, a big fan and part of the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. But it makes the case. Remember a couple of weeks ago, somebody said, why don't you have your advertising information somewhere? And part of the reason we said we don't do that is because the bigger advertisers get more splash. Maybe we could do, instead of like the big advertisers get their logos and hyperlinks on virtually every page of our website, we could just come to a drop down like advertisers. It would just say Table Ozarks rental property, Siesta Key rental property, Ad Crucem, and then just get hyperlinks without the, you know, just on one page. Nothing sexy, nothing glitzy, but
just put it in the menu. Would you put it in the menu along the top?
It would save me lots of time because I have to, you know, give out phone numbers and website addresses and things like that.
We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That comment line, 618-223-8382. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. A little bit more, and then Katie Faust will join us to talk about reactions from donor-conceived people.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
The New Testament includes four versions of the life, suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man. We call these four different views on Jesus the four Gospels. Well, how do they relate to one another? Why do we have four different Gospels? How do they each portray Jesus in a unique way? Well, if you've asked any of these questions before, the Lutheran Witness, April issue of the Lutheran Witness, is for you. Pick up your copy at cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, Sylvan Grove, Kansas; Faith Lutheran Church and Preschool, Marinette, Wisconsin; Holy Cross Lutheran, Albany, Oregon; Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York; Mount Zion Lutheran, Castle Rock, Colorado; Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California; St. Athanasius Lutheran, Fairfax, Virginia; St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Arapahoe, Nebraska; and Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
If I ever write this letter, all the pages I could write.
If you don't have a faithful Lutheran school near you, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas provides live and online remote learning for preschool through 12th grades. Learn more at flsplano.org, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, and online at flsplano.org. Here is a show suggestion from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is Jonna from Edmond, Oklahoma, and this is a plea, I guess. I just read an article on the Federalist about the FDA's contracts with the fetal tissue procurement industry. for the federal government, and it was so disturbing. And I know you've done shows with, like, David DeLeiden when he did his Center for Medical Progress videos. And I would like, if you could, to have some people that could kind of shed some light on more of this and why we're not hearing about it and what maybe we can do. You know, I've talked to a few people that are pro-choice, and they'll kind of debunk and say, well, Planned Parenthood in one court proceeding did show how they were doing this ethically. And so it was just a back and forth thing. I would find it very helpful if you could have a few people that could tease some of the facts out. I mean, it seems, you know, on a pro-life side that it's irrefutable that this is just abhorrent to do in any way. I just was hoping maybe you could do a show that could kind of help some of us defend. I mean, I know you can't advocate things probably as much, but it would sure be nice to be able to know the facts in a concrete way. Thank you for all you do. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, John, and thanks for listening. It's a good suggestion, and we'll certainly put it to use as soon as we possibly can. Yeah, we have interviewed David DeLeiden several times. He is the investigative reporter that went, you know, kind of undercover and interviewed Planned Parenthood leaders, and what he did was almost single-handedly expose Planned Parenthood's backdoor body part trafficking syndicate that they were running and still are running. A lot of the facts of this and admissions on the part of Planned Parenthood that this is exactly what they were doing. They were aborting fetuses for the purpose of selling the body parts for medical research. And they admitted as such during DeLeiden's several trials, and they're not over. The current vice president of the United States made it her business while in California to pursue DeLeiden legally. And I don't think any of that is going to stop. So, yes, what has happened is the Biden administration has lifted the Trump restrictions on these kinds of things and have, in fact, just as late as yesterday or the day before, Biden's press secretary said that they respectfully disagree with U.S. Catholic bishops that on reproductive rights. And that was a response given in the context of the fact that it was revealed that the FDA has lifted these restrictions on the selling of aborted baby body parts for research. So your money, your tax money, is going to buy these tissues. And Planned Parenthood is making a lot of money doing it. On the back end, on the front end, they're making a lot of money aborting the babies in the first place. And it's impossible for me to see this as anything other than just a way for Planned Parenthood not only to exploit the women in the act of abortion, and then to exploit the babies who have been aborted through the sale of their tissues on the backside of their business. I'm glad DeLeiden exposed all of this. And what we need to do is we need to find out exactly what's been now made legal again, what hasn't, and we need to understand that this is an industry that is continuing, that as long as President Biden is president, as long as there is a pro-choice president in the White House, it will get the green light from federal agencies. There will be a blind eye turned toward it, and they're going to keep David DeLeiden tied up in court as long as they can, because the minute he's out of court, he's going to go back and start talking about this publicly. And he's going to go back and he's going to continue to expose what Planned Parenthood and the U.S. government have been doing with the bodies of aborted fetuses. Now, there's pieces of legislation in various states that are a way to prevent this from Planned Parenthood from doing this. And these legislations call for the burial or cremation of all the remains of aborted fetuses. Planned Parenthood opposes this tooth and nail, these kinds of bills in the various states, tooth and nail, because they couldn't sell the body parts anymore. What good is an aborted fetus if we've put them in a crematorium or if we bury them in the ground? We can't sell their body parts for money. So if you want to know why in the world would Planned Parenthood not want to respectfully dispose of the remains of aborted babies, the answer is because they can't sell their bodies anymore. So this is the trafficking in dead human babies. That is what it is. We'll keep our eye on it for you and keep the suggestions coming. When we come back, Katie Faust is going to join us. She's founder and director of a children's rights organization, Them Before Us, and we're going to talk about reactions of so-called donor-conceived people.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of in the spring,
get in touch with God.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in Christianity. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will help make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast Christ's net on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Sent to serve. Across the nation, children are back in 1,900 Lutheran schools serving students in early childhood through high school. Whether in person or through remote learning, students are thriving in programs of excellence in safe, caring Christian environments taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. That's lcms.org/schools.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We need people who are well-educated enough to know what the Constitution means, what it says, how its principles work.
Dr. Robert George of Princeton University talking about his presentation on the Constitution and civic virtue at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We need people who are willing to fight for those principles, to call out politicians, whether they're liberal or conservative, whether they are Democratic or Republican, when they transgress against the Constitution. We need a people who are fit for liberty and fit for the rule of law under a Constitution like ours, a Republican polity like ours, established under the Constitution. So I'm really going to be talking about civic virtue and its relationship to constitutional structures and principles.
You can meet and hear Dr. Robert George at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.